Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the cleansing of the blood. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Thank you, choir, for blessing our hearts once again. Would you turn your Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 7, right in the middle of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. This message tonight has been percolating for about, I don't know how many months. Kind of reminds me of our coffee pot right now that's kind of on the blink. And it'll be in there going, and you'll go in there and it's making all the noise, but it's percolating, but it's not putting the water out. So I told you that this message has been percolating. It's yet to be seen if we can get it out tonight. But it has been percolating for some time, and I want to share it with you tonight. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Appreciate you standing in worship. And if you're, yeah, that's great. Amen. Just read one verse tonight. How many's already recognized this? This is called the what? The Golden Rule, the Golden Rule. Why don't you just read it with me? Let's read it in unison tonight. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Let's read that again together. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Tonight I'd like to preach on why the golden rule is golden. Why the golden rule is golden. Let's pray together. Would you pray for me and with me tonight? Heavenly Father, thank you for these words of Christ that he spake to that multitude so long ago. But their words he's yet speaking to our hearts. And help us on a Sunday evening, Lord, to hear from heaven the voice of our Savior clearly again. God, thank you that you transform our lives, that we might live transformed lives. Thank you for your word, O God, that guides us and leads us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Why the golden rule is golden. Now, you may say, this seems like a really odd scripture and theme for Christmas time. But I think if we'll make it through this message tonight, at the end, you'll see why this is a very Christmassy message, a very Christmassy scripture and theme. Amen. I want to make a statement here, and you can debate whether you want to agree with me or not. But I think we Christians should be our own greatest critics. I think we Christians should be our greatest critics. I don't think it should be left to the world to point out our inconsistencies, to point out our hypocrisies, to point out our shortcomings. I think we need to be on top of it and see what we need and where we're at. Can you say amen? I don't know if it was in frustration or not, but not too long back, I said to Sandra, I said, are we Christians ever really going to get this thing? Have you ever felt that way? Are we really going to get a hold of this? You say, well, what were you talking about? But, you know, do we really get a hold of this thing that Christians are to live like Christians? I mean, get a hold of this thing. Christians are different. We don't think the same way about things. We don't do things the same as the world. We don't have the same values. We don't have the same attitudes. We live by different principles, different rules. And I'm not talking about the rules of religion. I'm talking about that which reflects a changed life, the work of God, being born again. And I honestly believe that as Christians, our way of doing things should be markedly different than the way the world does things. I really believe that. And, you know, this is for everybody. I think Christian young people are different from worldly young people. I think Christian young couples are different than worldly young couples. And we can go on up Amen. I think Christian seniors live differently than worldly seniors. I mean, you know, here we go again, but if there's no difference, there's no difference. But there is a difference when Jesus comes in. Amen. And you know, and folks get it all wrong. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. They act like we're working. We don't work for our salvation. What that means is the work that God has done in our lives, let it work out in every aspect of our life, that it shows up. And I believe one of the areas that Christians really need to get is the golden rule. I think we really need to get this, what Jesus said, that whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. That's just not moral pontificating. That's the lifestyle that Jesus has for the believer. I know it's good instruction and a principle for all the world, but it's more than just a suggested principle. It should be the description of the life of the believer. And so why is the golden rule golden? They call it the golden rule, of course, because it's so valuable, because it just takes in everything that Christ would have to say about us. But let's look tonight. Why is the golden rule golden? First of all, I believe that keeping the golden rule would solve almost every human relationship problem. Think about that. Keeping the golden rule would solve almost every humanship relationship problem. We were, and they may not remember, that's fine, but we were in Sunday school one day, and out of the blue, I said this, I made a statement. I said, 99% of the problems of people and society, 99% of the problems of the home, 99% of the problems of the marriage, 99% of the problems of the church would be solved if people would simply practice the golden rule. Now, that may not be very scientific, and I don't have the research to back it up, but I still believe wherever you said that, it's extremely high. The problems would be solved if people simply followed the golden rule. And I don't want that to be in the vacuum. I want you to think of even tonight, of the problems that may exist even in your life. And they could truly be solved if we would do to others as we would have them do to us. Think of society, though. You know, we have crime. Would there be any crime? Would there be, let's put it more specifically, would there be any thieving going on if people truly practice the golden rule? Why? I'll tell you. Nobody likes to be stole from. And if you follow the principle of the golden rule, you'd never steal from anybody because you don't like anyone here, of course. Well, maybe a little late to ask him, but nobody likes to be murdered. Right? Sometimes I get deep. Amen. Thank you, brother. I heard an amen there. Thank you. Nobody likes to be betrayed in their relationships. On a social level, I mean, let's think about how many here likes to be left out? How many likes to sit by yourself at a gathering? Maybe it's the lunchroom at school. How many just really likes to sit by yourself? Well, a few do, but I mean, really, how many just really likes to? Okay, most of us don't. It's human nature, and no one would sit by themselves because we'd practice the golden rule. No one. Okay, maybe that didn't work. How many likes to just get into being gossiped about? You like people going around saying bad things about you. No one would ever gossip if they got a hold of the golden rule, because they would think to themselves, I don't like to be gossiped about. Why would I gossip about somebody else? How many likes to be treated rudely? People be rude to you. Would you like it, Brother Rose, if you stuck out your hand to shake my hand? Go ahead, stick out your hand to shake my hand. Do you like that? No, he said, no. You see, we wouldn't have any of these problems. Marriage. If you're on one side of that, do you really like for your spouse to be 3 hours late, not call and tell you why they're late? You like that? There would be some murder. But anyway, I'm trying to say the problems of whether it's home or the society or any of these things, they could be solved if folks would follow the golden rule. Now, the world may not get that. But the Christian ought to get it, that this is the way that Christ desires us to live, that we would do unto others as we would have them do unto us. And so the golden rule is a golden because if we keep it, it will solve almost every problem in human relation. And secondly, keeping the golden rule helps you be the person. I'm talking about me too, but keeping the golden rule helps you be the person you should be. You know, I really believe that a mark of a Christian is you want to be what you should be. I believe that's a mark. But you know, here's the interesting thing about this. Other cultures have something similar to this, but it's always stated in the negative. It's always stated, don't do to others what you don't want them doing to you. See, that's stated in the negative. Don't. Refrain. But Jesus states it in the positive. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. In other words, not just refrain from doing wrong, but be proactive. Do something good for somebody else. You see, this thing is really positive. You say, Pastor Hurst getting negative tonight. No, it's positive. Jesus is saying, do something positive. I mean, don't just hold back from doing the bad thing, but literally do the good thing that you would like others do to you. Do that good thing to somebody else. Amen. And so Jesus makes it positive and proactive. You know, the word today is narcissistic, and I won't go into the Greek mythology where that comes from, but you know what that means, wrapped up in yourself and self-centered and all of that. Amen. But Jesus isn't talking about being narcissistic and doing this for your own self-interest. In other words, you really like to be treated well, so you're going to treat other people well because you hope they'll treat you well in return. So he's not saying do this in self-interest. He says do this with empathy. In other words, put yourself in the other person's place. Put yourself in the other person's place. Switch places. You don't think the wife's doing a good job taking care of the kids and cleaning the house and cooking? Switch places with her for a day. Woo! We're in the midst of revival. That's what Jesus is saying. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. Let's try this. Luke, would you help me? Yeah, you don't have to say anything, but I do want you to act. I'm going to switch places with you. Come ahead. Except I'm going to... You go ahead and sit right there so I can trade places with you, because I'm going to trade places with you. You're going to preach, okay? Now, you don't have to say anything, but I want you to grab this microphone, and I want you to preach right to me, okay? Go ahead. We're switching places. You see, sorry. We're switching places. You see that? I mean, preach right at me. Thank you. How'd you like that? How'd you like that, Luke? How was your experience of preaching?
It was all right.
All right. We got to try this for real then. Switch places. And this isn't about me tonight. This is just simply an illustration. But look, think about if you were the one that was speaking. You are the one preaching. See how this works? You switch places. That's what Jesus said. Change it up in your mind and imagine you are that one in that position. You know, it's always been interesting to me that some preachers, when they're up here, they want everybody on the edge of their seat shouting amen with rapt attention. And then they go and sit and talk to other preachers on the platform and everywhere else. Right? Think about it. Switch places. I mean, the Sunday school teacher's up, studied. I mean, really prepared the lesson and trying to teach. And the, boy, we're getting into the where the rubber meets the road, aren't we? What if you had studied all week? What if you dug it out? How many of you, well, I've got to finish it. How many of you women cook? And I'll finish it. How many of you women, you invited your family over? Okay, going to have a lot of the family come over. And you've slaved all day. You've made homemade rolls, right? Help me out here. I mean, you've worked on that brisket where you cook it and then have to chill it and recook it and everything. You've put everything into it. You went to the trouble to buy all the supplies and all that. And then it came time to eat, and they didn't show up. And you start getting calls, you know. Well, my third cousin's second wife, grandfather, his dog had an ingrown toenail, and so I stayed home to see how that was going to turn out, right? I mean, if you prepared, and so you switch places and you think about that. And your Sunday school teacher, I mean, they prepared, they got ready, and you didn't even show up. Wow. What about cliques? Cliques. Here's a group over here, and they're always together and talking, and here's someone by themselves, never included. And again, you wouldn't want to be on the peripheral. You wouldn't be on the, you'd want somebody to put your, hey, come on over here, join us, be a part of. I'm talking about really getting this thing as Christians that we live by a different principle. You see, this isn't a narcissistic thing. This is getting out of our place and trading places with somebody and putting ourselves in position. And so we ask ourselves some questions when we trade places. How would you like to be treated? That's what you ask yourself. How would I like to be treated? How would I like to be done? How would I like to be spoken to? What kind of attitude would I like to be shown to? And then what Jesus said, after you've changed places and you've asked yourself these questions, so don't wait until others start treating you right. You go ahead and start treating other people the way you want to be treated. You know, I've dealt many times with married couples, and the problem is, and I'm not going to get into this too far, but, you know, what they're there for in counseling is to let the spouse know how they need to change. And God has another principle. You don't worry about changing your spouse. You worry about God helping you change yourself, and you begin to treat your spouse the way you would want to be treated. And if you follow that principle, God knows how to get involved in that and work. Amen. And on we could go. You know, none of us don't like, we do not like not being given the benefit of the doubt. I mean, when misunderstandings and things arise, we want everybody to give us the benefit of the doubt, that there was some reason, there was some excuse, there was some answer. Have you ever noticed that when we make a mistake driving, how many drivers we got here? Okay, the rest of you walk to church. But anyway, have you ever noticed when we make a mistake driving, those behind us around, we totally expect them to understand why we made that mistake. But when they make a mistake driving, whew, do we have words for them? Is that right? Do you want me to go ahead and give the altar call for Drivers Anonymous here? In other words, we like to be given the benefit of the doubt. We like to be included. We don't like not to be included. We do not like not being listened to. How many has found it's easier to talk than to listen? I'm talking about in private conversations. And none of us like it to notice that they're not really listening to us. You know, their eyes are darting around. They're looking. Has anyone ever got the clue that you weren't being listened to? Evidently, I'm not being listened to. I saw one hand. I'm getting a complex. I'm trying to help us tonight. None of us like not being treated with respect and value. None of us like to not be treated kindly and be treated with respect. We don't like that. Let me ask you this. We're practicing this golden rule, and we're talking about it helping us to be the person that we should be. But do you like to be forgiven when you've messed up? then you should forgive. Do you like having a second chance? Then you should give a second chance. Do you like to be remembered and not forgotten and left out? Then you remember. And that's what Jesus said. You know, I've often told my kids this. One of the things I detest is to drive down the road or be in a park and see litter. I guess I've already killed the spirit. I might as well go ahead. Preach a little bit about littering. And I've often said to my kids, that just aggravates me. How would those that threw all that garbage out alongside the road or threw the garbage, how would they like it if I took my garbage for the week and went over and dumped it out in the living room or in their bedroom? They wouldn't like that. Well, my kid said one time, well, some of them wouldn't notice. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so unto them. And in keeping the golden rule, you become the person you should be. It's not about them treating you right. It's that you begin to treat them right. Amen. Then keeping the golden rule delivers you from the misery of a narcissistic life. I'm not picking on our young people, but we're not talking about them. We're talking about their generation. If there's any word that's used to describe them, and I'm not talking about preachers, I'm talking about sociologists and everything, it's the word narcissistic, wrapped up in self. But I want to tell you something from God's word. There's nothing more miserable than being wrapped up in yourself. You know, when we are wrapped up in ourselves, we make an awful small package. Amen? It's miserable. And I promise you, none are as miserable as those that make it all about themselves. I'm going to tell you, just in this service tonight, those that made it about others, those that made it about glorifying God, they were helped and strengthened, and they're going to leave here joyful tonight. But those that made it about themselves, ain't nothing blessing me tonight. I ain't seen anything to get excited about. Why don't they sing my song? Well, I don't like the way Pastor Hurst is preaching. You know, well, they didn't do this right. And, you know, Sister Rebecca, she should have sang the choir song, because that's the way I would. If you make it all about yourself, you are going to be miserable. And the golden rule is golden because it delivers us from the misery of a narcissistic life. You know, I think children ought to be treated right. But our society has made a mistake because it's made it all about the children. You will hear that over and over again. It's all about the children. Well, the children have picked that up. It's all about the children. And when you make it all about them, then parents and societies wonder why children are so unhappy, so ill-adjusted, because it's made it all about themselves. But the golden rule makes it about others, treating others right. I think the most miserable people, by the way, people that are miserable, they're not happy just being miserable themselves. They got to make other folks miserable in the process. And I know I'm just preaching to someone streaming. I'm not preaching to anyone here tonight. But how many has found that true? But I have found the most miserable people, they're miserable because they cannot see things from any perspective but their own. They look at a service only through their eyes and not the neighbor's. They see situations only how it affects them and not how it affects other folks. And the golden rule delivers us from that. It's not all about how I see it. It's not about all how I want it. It's not about how I prefer it. It's how am I going to treat my brother? And Jesus uses a golden rule to say, here is how you treat your brother the way you like to be treated. And again, that's not making it about myself. It's taking it out of me and switching places. And then keeping the golden rule guides you in what you should do. There's a television program, I don't know how good it is or anything of that nature, but it asks the question, what would you do? And it creates scenarios and you know, maybe someone getting beat up or whatever, and then what would you do? You know, I admit in life there's a lot of dilemmas and questions that it's hard really to know what to do, how to respond, what to say. But you know, here's the thing. Here's why the golden rule is golden. if you keep the golden rule, it will guide you into what you do. You simply, when you don't know what to do, you ask the question, what would I like done to me? And that will guide you in knowing what to do. This is the easiest way to determine the course of our action, is to follow the golden rule. I don't know what to do in this situation. I don't know how to make this decision. I don't know what I should say to them. I don't know what I should do on the behalf of this person. Just follow the golden rule. And it will determine for you and for me the course of action, amen, that we should take. If you don't like it done to you, then they wouldn't like it done to them. And if you like it done for you, they would like it done for them. I thought of this not long back. And I was somewhere, I can't remember if it was Walmart or a gas station. I'm getting two incidences blurred up in my mind. You never have that problem, but somebody wasn't having trouble. They were having trouble starting their car. And I was in a hurry. And at first I thought, man, I don't have time for this. It's not starting. You know, you really ought to go jump them. Well, I don't have time for this. And besides that, I've got my jumper cables in the box and back, and they're covered up by everything. And then it hit me. Well, what would you want someone to do for you if your battery wouldn't start? That puts things in a different light, doesn't it? And see, that guided me. The golden rule guided me. Well, the thing you ought to do is go help them. Go jump their vehicle for me. It guided me. Now, right before I moved, somebody else responded, so they got the blessing. And all I got was an illustration. But, you know, the golden rule is golden because keeping the golden rule enables you to get the rest of it right too. Did you know Jesus said that? Let's look one more time at this verse, if we have it there. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. But the verse doesn't stop. What does it say here? For this is the law and the prophets. I mean, you read the law and the prophets, Brother Ryan. There's all kinds of things, principles and laws that we should do and not do. I mean, the Bible's full of them. If we would count them, there'd be hundreds of them. And instead of carrying that list of all the principles and laws of the prophets and the law, carrying them around and with a pencil and say, whoa, did I do this and did I do that? And did I get that right? Did I get that right? Jesus said, just follow the golden rule and you'll get the rest of it right too. You will keep the law. You will follow the principles of the prophets if you'll just keep the golden rule. It's golden because keeping the golden rule enables you to get the rest of it right too. Keep this, Jesus said, and you can hang on that. All the law and the prophets. Now you say, now how in the world is this a Christmas message? I'll tell you why. Because this that I've been admonishing us that we should do, put ourselves in the other's place through the golden rule. Jesus truly, truly did that. He took not on him the nature of angels, but he took upon him the nature of man. He was born in the flesh. He put himself in our place. And I'm going to tell you what he did in our place. Two things. Number one, he was treated all the bad ways we are treated. Wasn't he? He knows. That's why he could be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. But you know, it's more than that. Not only was he treated all the bad ways we are treated, he was treated all the bad ways that we treat others. And he did so he could help us. He was treated like we're treated so he could empathize. He switched places with us. But he's also treated all the bad ways we treat others so he could help us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. It's a Christmas story. Aren't you glad he switched places? I'm not saying we went to heaven. I'm saying he came down and he lived like we live. He knows what it is to be in our place. And so tonight, as the music comes, put yourself in the place of another and ask, how would I like to be treated if I were in their shoes? We got to get this as believers. Wouldn't it change everything? We'd have revival in our homes. Marriages, young people's group, church, we change society simply by living by the golden rule. I know you heard this, but maybe it would be, it's been a while since you heard it. But when you put yourself in others' place, you need to ask, how would I want to be treated in that place? And that's what we've been preaching. But I know, this is what I know you've heard. How many's heard the story about that lady that was out driving her car, and she was first in line in traffic and came to a red light, and as she was sitting there waiting for the light to change, her car died. Okay? And so then the light turns green, but her car's dead. And so she's cranking the engine. And behind her, they're lined up. The light's green. And so the guy directly behind her, he just lays on the horn. And she's cranking. He's honking. Finally, she got out of the car, and she walked back there, and she said real sweetly, she said, "Sir, if you'd like to come up and start my car, try to start my car, I'd gladly sit here and honk your horn." I mean, everything is different when we put ourselves in the other's place and say, how would I like to be treated? Now, I'm not going to open a new sermon, but I want to deal with one other thing. We find that this is the reason Jesus came and the purpose of the gospel. In the end, we can be challenged to keep the golden rule. We can commit ourselves to keep the golden rule. But only Christ can give us the power and the strength and the ability to do so. We need him. We need him. You see, it's not just making my mind to be good and moral. It's letting Jesus be Jesus in me. And how many knows there was never a more selfless person than Jesus Christ? Over and over, he put himself in the other's place. He talked to the woman at the well that none of the village ladies wanted to talk to. He had time for the woman with the issue of blood that none of the crowd had time for. How did he do that? He put himself in their place. He gave Peter a second chance when no doubt everybody else said, "You denied the Lord, you're through." He put himself in Peter's place. And the Lord can give us the same attitude. You know, even as believers, sometimes we just need to let God bring a change in our life. Amen. You know, this just goes on and on, every aspect. Amen. Sometimes there's folks in the altar tearing, just longing for somebody to put a hand on their back and just pray for them. Tell them, "I love you. I care for you." I mean, the golden rule goes on and on and on. And oh, what a difference it makes. Why? Because we're keeping the golden rule. We're living as our Master and our Lord. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for his strength and power? You say you're preaching law. No, I'm preaching grace. It's because of him. It's because of him that we can have this attitude, this determination. Doesn't Jesus make a change in our lives? Oh, hallelujah. Let's just go ahead and stand. I mean, in a moment, he can change our attitude. Amen. Amen. You won't speak to somebody. Do you like it when no one will speak to you? Speak to them. Amen. Make the change tonight. Whatever needs to be done, just simply treat as you desire to be treated. Love as you desire to be loved. Amen. God will get involved in that in a hurry. Hallelujah. Would you like to come and pray? Amen. Let's fill the altars tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even also unto them. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Jesus. Thank you for your people, Lord. Bless your people, Lord. Strengthen your people, Lord. Encourage your people, Lord. Lord, we love you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we honor you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's really let something happen in our hearts. And I know we've heard this over and over. And I know it's just reminding, but let's say, Jesus, help me truly do unto others as I would have them do unto me. Lord, really give me that attitude that I come out of myself. I come out of being wrapped up in myself, and I look at it from others' perspective, and I truly can make a difference because you live in me, and I can care like you care, and I can love like you love, and I can help like you help, and I can speak like you speak, Lord. Hallelujah. Help me, Jesus. Oh, God, I can't do it on my own. But Lord, you can help me. You can work in me and through me. Hallelujah.